Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everyone? Back into Sports Talk here at the 7 o'clock hour this Wednesday, August the 21st, 4 days away from the preseason finale for the Black and Gold, who will be hosting the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to jump right into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Our wonderful caller has been hanging on the line. John and Metre, you're up first. What you got for us tonight, John?
Hey, fellas. Hey, look, correct me if I'm wrong. This Super Bowl this year puts us one game ahead of Miami as who's hosted the most Super Bowls, right?
Now, that'll be interesting. Steve's going to check this right quick. Because we right up there with Miami, I know it's been like two handfuls, like 10 or 11. John, that's a good point. But I could tell you along those lines, remember how we used to kind of take for granted when we had a number of Super Bowls? We'll probably get the Super Bowl every 4 or 5 years. No, because there's so much competition with these new stadiums and new cities. Okay, let's say we have the Super Bowl this year because of the competition. We'd be fortunate to have another Super Bowl, let's say 2034, 2035. It's going to be about once every decade versus once every maybe 4 or 5 years. You can about double that because the competition, all the new stadiums and new cities. Like, look at Cleveland. Cleveland, of all places, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They even wanted to build a new stadium so they can host Super Bowls and Final Fours.
Big time event.
And you look at Chicago. They're not even trying to build a new stadium. Where with the roof they can open and close, so control environment. Now, again, when Minnesota hosted a Super Bowl, or even the Pontiac Silverdome, this is like 1980, Joe Montana and the Bengals. Remember Chris Collinsworth, going way back. I mean, what, you going to go like in an ice storm outside? You going to have an ice festival? No, to me, that's why, I don't know. The Saints will always be in that number, and I think they've upgraded the Superdome. But even though they've upgraded the Superdome because of the competition, we still might not get a Super Bowl after this year until 10 years from now.
And, Cullen, you said that would tie Miami, right?
Yeah, it would tie for 11, and then the next closest would be Los Angeles at 8. But not, like, the new Los Angeles, the old one.
Right. Yeah, they had that, the Rose Bowl. They had the Super Bowl at the Rose Bowl, I think, even the L.A. Coliseum. But the new stadium they have so far, that's kind of, Chargers, Rams. But, no, they'll have. Then you look at Las Vegas. You just look at Atlanta. There's so many more teams that are going to be bidding on Super Bowls. No, I think we could still stay in that number, but it's highly competitive. But it's not going to be none of this 4 or 5 years. Oh, we're having another Super Bowl. It's going to be more like 10 to 12 to host a Super Bowl. It's going to be that valuable. But, John, yeah, we're right up there with Miami. So when you look at it.
My point is, though, don't you think at some point the NFL is going to tell the city and the state, hey, fellas, I don't care how much you renovate, your dome's over 50 years old. If you want another Super Bowl, you got to build a new stadium like everybody else.
Now, John, that is a good point. Now, we think right now the Super Bowl in the Superdome is definitely relevant right now. But if you look at all the bells and whistles, who knows 20, 35, 10 years from now? And I don't know, we're a poor state. I don't know if we'd be able to keep up with the Joneses and to have a different stadium. I mean, in theory, John, you know what the Superdome should be? We love it where it's at. Somehow, if we could scout the Superdome top, and now thinking of money of that, though, and make it into a retractable roof, because that's where all the new stadiums that are being built. They want to control the environment. Oh, it's a great fall day, great football weather. Let's open it up. And then it's bad weather. Let's close it up. Whether you're in Houston, whether you're in Dallas, or wherever. But as far as ideal, what you want to do Super Bowl week, come on. Miami, New Orleans, even though you could maybe have cold weather come Super Bowl time. But you look at Miami, you look at New Orleans, Los Angeles, even Phoenix. Las Vegas.
Vegas, man, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
Colin said, too, the next two ones after New Orleans, it's going to be in
Levi Stadium.
Levi Stadium for San Francisco.
San Francisco,
right?
Yeah. It could be in the 50s.
I mean, that was also built in 2014.
Right.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
And then the next one after that is back in L.A. with the Rams and the Chargers shared stadium, which was built in 2020. So the next two, we don't know 2028, but the next two are with, you know, things that got built within the last 10 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You look at SoFi, that's more like the Disneyland, Disney World, the NFL, that atmosphere. And I haven't been there. I want to go to SoFi Stadium. Cammy, my daughter, went to a Chargers game. She goes, "Dad, it was awesome." It was nice. Now, some fans might not like it, but she said, no, she thought it was unbelievable. She thought it was really nice. Now, San Fran, where that stadium is at, where the Saints just played their preseason game, they don't need a retractable roof. Now, you could have rain, but it's not going to be like snowing, for that Super Bowl.
Have you gotten to go to Jerry's World at all yet?
Yes, actually.
That's a pretty impressive stadium. As much as you might want to dog the Cowgirls.
The first game.
The stadium's nice.
I went there when T-Bob was playing at LSU when they beat Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Remember Honey Badger and all?
Yeah.
And Oregon was fourth in the nation, and Honey Badger was taking the ball away, helped us win. We put a whooping on the Oregon Ducks. And, so that was my first experience there. And that big video screen and all.
Right.
So, it's just keeping up with the Joneses, just the way the NFL is, if you want to have a Super Bowl. And, again, we're going to be in that number, and the Superdome is relevant now. But a decade from now, 12 years from now, John, it might not be.
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing all these upgrades.
Without a doubt. Young people, they can't really appreciate. I think older people or older fans appreciate the renovation more than young people.
Knowing what they used to be.
Young fans take that for granted. Oh, aren't all the stadiums like this? No. Where an older fan said, this is really an upgrade.
Right. I remember when the dome was like this. And now look at all the improvements you have.
I remember when you used to be able to smoke in the Superdome. You go and then there'd be a haze. There'd be a haze at the top of the dome.
Now it's just all vape smoke.
Because you could remember you couldn't smoke in your seat, but they would smoke and it still would end up in the top of the stadium. I remember seeing that haze.
The league, I saw an article from ESPN recently about how the league, with regards to what stadiums are the oldest, the Saints are fifth. There's only four stadiums ahead of them. The Bears, Packers, Chiefs, and Bills.
I'm going to go through all that.
The Bills
have the oldest now. But they're redoing their stadium, too.
Right.
The Bills are – say those stadiums again. I'm going to comment on all of them.
An article from ESPN from February this past year.
Yeah. Tell me, Colin.
Soldier Field with the Bears.
Soldier Field, they're getting ready to build a retractable roof stadium.
That was in Soldier Field. 1924.
Soldier Field, they said, okay, a lot of history, a lot of tradition. We're moving on.
They didn't move there until full-time until 71, but still.
Yeah, we're going to have a retractable roof, new stadium to host Super Bowls. Okay, go ahead, Colin.
This one's kind of a, I don't know if they'd ever do it, Lambeau Field, 1957.
No, they're not doing that. They redid that. No, that's like a museum.
No, I know.
Exactly.
They'll never have a Super Bowl in Green Bay's too small. Green Bay's like 100,000 people. And Milwaukee's like 2 hours away. Milwaukee's the city. No, Green Bay ain't changing.
It does have the second largest capacity among stadiums.
But the Packers, no, it's too cold. They're not putting no roof on. That's old school. Packers aren't changing their stadium. Who's next?
Chiefs, 72.
Oh, now that's Arrowhead. Now that's different. No, it's still too cold. Now that the Chiefs are interesting because, Arrowhead Stadium. I told you that was the loudest stadium I ever played in my life.
And obviously, the success they've been having of late. It's like, do you really want to change? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No, we love it when it's freezing cold. Dolphins came to town and two and all. Remember, they had. Do you know they had 12 people, 12 diehard Chief fans that went to the Dolphins Chiefs game. And then they lost their toes, and some of them lost fingers.
Right.
Frostbite. Now, that's a diehard fan. I tell you, you could be a big part of Who Dat Nation.
But no one's losing fingers and toes.
I don't want, when the game's over, 2 weeks later, now I only got 8 toes. I lost a couple.
But what a hell of a game it was.
Yeah, what a hell of a game. We kicked the Dolphins behind. No. So I don't. The Chiefs are just, I think the Chiefs ain't changing nothing. They're going for three-peat right now. Now, who's after that, Colin?
And then the last one, just 2 years before the Superdome, was Highmark Stadium, the Buffalo Bills in 73.
The Bills have just, they just had a renovation. Are they in the process of doing a renovation? No, the Buffalo's too cold, so they won't. And the city's not big enough. The city's not sexy enough to have a Super Bowl.
I was going to say, what's there to do in Buffalo?
It's like not close to Niagara Falls. I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah, when you look at Buffalo, no. You might say, well, Bobby, who wants to go to Indianapolis for a Super Bowl? I remember we went went to the Super Bowl to promote it before he came here in New Orleans. You know what's awesome about Indianapolis? You can walk everywhere.
Very much like New Orleans.
Yes,
right.
Yes. You look at the number of hotels. Now, they need a little few more, maybe more hotel rooms.
Right.
But a very walkable city, Indianapolis, not as colorful, obviously, as New Orleans. Walkable city and the fun you can have here. But no, but Indianapolis wasn't necessarily bad to have a Super Bowl there because you don't have to get in your damn car and drive 20 miles. That's one thing about Los Angeles.
Oh, I know you guys, when you went from Miami for the Saints Super Bowl, it was like a half hour to get to the stadium from the hotel.
Yeah, half an hour, 45 minutes. It's all spread out. No, to me, the NFL takes that into consideration. That's one thing New Orleans has going for them is that and even Atlanta don't have that. You look at the proximity where the fans, everything was in walking distance. So where are you staying, the activity, and the actual stadium?
I'm definitely looking forward to, obviously, not just the big game being here, but all just the madness leading up to it, everything that I'm sure that's going to be at the convention center, the parties, the NFL experience that comes in as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes.
It's a ton of fun.
No, it's big time. It's about, and now it's an international event. It's not just, American football. No, the Super Bowl is truly super.
You mentioned that. Do you think in next 10 to 20 years we could have an overseas Super Bowl?
Oh, without a doubt, if they pay for it. In London or something?
Right.
The Tottenham Stadium? I heard that is unbelievable.
It really was. I got to do that.
I don't know, Wembley, Tottenham, whatever. Yeah, they would. Money talks. No, they'll have the damn Super Bowl because the rich get richer, and the NFL is going to do that. And then what NFL team would complain because you have enough time? It's at a neutral site.
Right, you're there the whole week getting ready for the games.
You know, the only one, it wouldn't be a neutral site this year if the Saints were in it. That'd be a long shot, but hey, we can have hope.
We can dream.
Yeah, we hosted a Super Bowl and we're in it, but think how time flies. Now, we would have thought, now you have hurricanes and all, what's going to, and then you push things back. But it's been a while since we had that Ravens 49ers Super Bowl. Now, that was very entertaining. Now, we can't have the damn lights going out.
that was definitely embarrassing.
Yeah, we can't have that. But that was a good Super Bowl, the Harbaugh Bowl.
Right.
Remember John and Jim Harbaugh? That can't happen again because Jim's in the AFC too. Now, they could play in the AFC Championship game, Chargers Ravens. You know, that could happen. All my dark horse charges.
Do they play each other this year? I'd have to look at the schedule.
I don't know. I have to look, too.
Because I know the NFL would love that and would have to put it in prime time.
Oh, without a doubt. They're going to promote that. Look, whenever they play, no, that's going to be
they do Monday Night Football.
There you go, right.
November 25th.
Like you said, Harbaugh Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. Not the Super Bowl, but it's still significant, stuff, so.
Want to get to all your calls on the Open Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line. First up, though, we're taking a break. Be right back with more sports talk after this. Tune in on WWL.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into our Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. Getting ready for Saints preseason finale. The final one coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock in the Caesars Superdome. Not a noon start. 1 o'clock.
To tell you the truth, Steve.
I don't mind it at all. A little later for the pregame coverage.
No, you know what I wish? Now, there's all control. What's Eastern? What's Central? Pacific and all that. Mountain time. I wish, I don't know, give us a little more time in the morning to tailgate whatever and be prime. I'd rather the kickoff would be 1 instead of 12 noon. Wouldn't you rather Central? I like the 1 o'clock kickoff against the Titans. It's preseason, but I would rather it. You have the post game and all because a night game we get off till 1 in the morning. But I would like a 1 o'clock kickoff instead of 12 noon. Would you be? Because
hour just to get like you said to get ready for the game.
Because when I played on the East Coast, when I played with Atlanta,
right.
And stuff. It was on Eastern time, so the kickoff would be at 1 o'clock. So I always like that. I like that better than 12 noon. Again, you just got to win. I mean, just wherever.
And then you think, what is it, West Coast, that time starts, a new kickoff would be 10 a.m. over there.
No, they don't do that. They wouldn't do a noon kickoff.
But like, if you're waking up just to watch football.
To watch football.
Boom,
yeah,
you got games on at 10 a.m.
Yeah. No, but when you're actually playing, now you might be chomping at the bit because you're on Central Time Zone or East. When you're playing like the 49ers or you're playing the Rams, the kickoff would be like never at 12 West Coast. It'd be at 1, which is like 3 in Louisiana. So I kind of like that. I always had good games in Anaheim against the Rams. I like that. I felt well rested and everything. But that's when the kickoff. So that 1 o'clock to me is ideal. Not too late, not too early. About right.
The Saints game on Sundays at 1 o'clock. The Caesars Superdome practice Friday also at 1 o'clock. We had a noon start today. Coach Dennis Allen addressed the media. His opening statement on Tuesday session on how the workout went.
I thought our guys responded, you know, to practice this morning in a good way after, you know, it's kind of hard on a short turnaround. We practiced a lot, you know, last night after coming back from California and to come back this morning and have meetings and get back out on the practice field in full pads. They kind of pushed through it today. So it was good work. Still a lot of, you know, ones-on-ones or good versus good. There at the end, we got a couple of, you know, Tennessee carded looks. it'll be kind of the, you know, same routine a little bit. We're kind of getting a little bit more into a regular season type of schedule. Not necessarily doing all the same things that we would do during the regular season from a, you know, game plan and preparation standpoint, but yet wanting our guys, coaching staff, to kind of get used to what it's going to be like during a regular season week. So we're not doing that for the first time, getting ready for Carolina. So it's kind of what we got going on.
That's the first clip in the training camp sound bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American. Cajun Cannon, the black and gold, getting ready for obviously preseason game, the finale, but there's not much game prep going on right now. They're just trying to, right now, to me at least, figure out where are these roster spots going to go with cuts coming soon.
No, it's still highly competitive. There's nothing etched in stone. Even next Tuesday, after the game on Sunday, what is the date? What's next Tuesday? That's when they have the 53-man roster, but that's not going to be etched in stone. That's going to be very fluid.
Because other teams in the NFL releasing players that you might end up grabbing.
Yes, and all of a sudden
you think you've made this roster, you might be sweating. It's
it
not
out.
The final roster.
Yeah, you might be sweating it, and it's like, oh, you call your parents.
I made it.
You call your parents, you call your wife, your girlfriend. Oh, I made the team. Then you didn't even last 24 hours.
Oh, the Saints just picked up a running back.
Yeah, and then they tell you, oh, we're going in a different direction. We want to give you an opportunity to see what's out there for you. We might bring you back.
Right.
And you think, like, man, boy, talk about feeling dejected and deflated. But, no, it's not like, okay, Tuesday, 53-man roster. That's the initial 53-man roster. But, like I said, that's not etched in stone.
One of the things we saw yesterday at the Tulane practice, Bobby, was Oli Udoh getting some reps at right tackle with the first team. That continued into today. Not a surprise now, as Coach Dennis Allen says, what's the deal with Udoh and Penning splitting first team reps at right tackle?
Well, look, I think it's one of those deals where we want to get Oli some reps in there with the ones, see what that looks like. You know what I mean? I would still give the advantage to Trevor right now. But much like I've said in some of the other position battles that we're not quite settled on yet, I'm still waiting on the one guy that's going to jump out at me and say, man, this is my freaking job, you know. And
amen.
I think when it happens, I think we're all going to know when it happens. We're all going to see it. And so I'm still kind of waiting for that moment right now.
We've heard that from DA about the safety position, now here at the right tackle as well. Well, who's going to step up and claim it?
Well, listen, just...
Because Trevor's left the door open, obviously, for Oli to get it.
Yeah, you just got to take the bull by the horns, however the cliche, however you do that, just go, okay, this is my job. And just have so much confidence that you're going to have that swagger to be able to do it. And the one thing, you know what I like about Udoh? I say Udoh.
Udoh, yeah.
Udoh, not Udoh. Udoh. Now, you know, we didn't really see him. You know, we're all excited. You know, after the draft, OTAs, and you have the mandatory minicamp. We didn't see him because he's trying to be ready for training camp. And, he's coming over in free agency. But what I like right now over Trevor Penning, you know why? Because he's freaking played.
I was going to say game experience.
Yes, he's played.
As you would say, skins on the wall.
Yes, he has started the equivalent of a full season at guard for the Vikings. But, Bobby, that's a guard. I don't know. He started games. Now, that's the only thing it's not tackle. It was mainly at guard, but he's played some tackle. You know, if you look, I want to say at the top of my head, I want to say he's had like, I want to say 50-something starts. I have to check that out.
Okay.
But at guard, that might be wrong with that. But I know it was a number of starts for Trevor Penning. You can't really. No, you know what was the one? Was Lucas Patrick. That had Lucas Patrick on the brain. He had 54 career starts, and like Shane Lemieux had 12. So when you look at that, so. No, it was a full season, equivalent of a full season with the Vikings starting. So that's 17 games. So whatever, a lot more.
Nine games at tackle.
Okay.
And then he had guard 24 guard.
Oh, that many? So more than a season.
34, I'm sorry.
Oh, so 34 total.
34 at guard.
Okay.
43 total.
43 total. So, yeah, limited at tackle, but still has NFL starts.
Right.
That's like way. That's why you look at even Lucas Patrick. Now he's dealing with cramps at left guard. They're going with guys that, okay, we got to win now that have actually played. They might not be the best of the best, but they might be better or more experienced than who they're competing against.
So they're losing less.
So, therefore, you can trust them more. You know, it might not be like, how Dennis Allen really trusts McCoy and Cesar Ruiz right now?
Right.
No, I'm not saying they're going to get at that level, but at least they're journeymen or experienced starters that I would tend to trust them more than Trevor Penning or Sal DeVary right now. Now, the one who hasn't played and we trust because he's proven it in practice is Fuaga. And I hope his back's all right. I'd be interested to see if he plays Sunday.
We saw him out last night, at least, doing some running around with the team.
But if he's healthy, Dennis Allen, if he's healthy, we're going to play him, or at least play him a series or two, or because you have like a mini bye before the first game against Carolina. Cause,
live bullets, as they say, right? You want to get that more for him.
Yeah, because they're rookie. I mean, he's coming for NFL, and then, no, it's for real now. So, that's still a fluid situation. Who's the starting five going against Carolina on the offensive line? We don't know. I mean, it's just that's
to be determined.
Yes, exactly.
One last one from Dennis Allen. He was asked, did Gary Kubiak have any influence in the hiring of Clint? And do you recall coaching against Gary Kubiak at all?
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I think it was 2009. We went there and practiced against them in training camp. And it was hot, tough, competitive, I think there was a few fights in that deal, if I can remember correctly. But I thought that was part of developing, the type of team that we were going to be that year. I think some of that, comes into play. I mean, obviously, you're hiring a guy to do the job, all right? And you're hiring – I hired Clint. I didn't hire Gary. I hired Clint to do the job. But certainly I think his pedigree would lead me to believe that he has a chance to be successful at doing that. So that was part of the equation, but I would say the majority of the equation was based on how I felt about Clint and what I think he can do. But it didn't hurt that, I knew Gary and had an opportunity to go against some of his offenses. And I mean, if you go back and look at his career, man, it's pretty impressive in terms of the offensive rankings of the offenses that he was involved with. So I'm hopeful we'll be able to have the same type of success.
It's kind of like with athletes. Yeah, that pedigree you have. Yeah. You know, dad was a coach.
Yeah.
He's been brought up and knows, I guess,
the ups and downs of what it takes.
Well,
it's all about relationships and who you connect with. But like you said, no, I hired the son. I didn't hire the daddy. And you know what? Unbelievable. You know what? This goes back. You know, is the connection they have also Kubiak, the dad, Gary, and Coach. When you think about this, Dennis Allen, Texas A&M. See, all of that comes into play. You know what? My connection with Clint Kubiak's dad, Gary Kubiak. He was John Elway's backup when we waxed their ass in the Superdome 42-0 with Denver, 1988. He was the quarterback behind, you know, he's unbelievable, Super Bowl winning coach. But he was John Elway's backup when we waxed him 42-0. I don't think we punted that game. And so I know Gary Kubiak. I know. I'm familiar with him. He was solid backup. You always know he'd be like a good coach. But he's an outstanding coach. You win the Super Bowl, you know. And then you look at Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan. You look at the coach. It's amazing when you cross paths with her, like, I know, kind of like the daddies and all. But, you know, you look at Kyle Shanahan. Like, he's like, oh, he's the new guru. But you look at his dad. I told you that yesterday. He was the offensive coordinator for Joe Montana, Steve Young and all. And he was my coach in the Pro Bowl, 1994. So it's amazing how you cross paths and, you know, you interact with one another, but
things change but stay the same, as they say.
Yeah. But no, no, like Dennis said, no, if Clint can have the success like his dad, Gary Kubiak, if Clint Kubiak can have the success like his dad, Gary Kubiak, no, not only will he be an outstanding offensive coordinator, you know what's going to happen? He'll be on Coach Allen's coaching tree, maybe, if you're going to give Coach Allen a little credit, and have a chance to be a head coach. Then he will be a head coach somewhere else. So.
A guy that was back in action last night, everybody was happy to see, Juwan Johnson, the tight end. We're going to continue our training camp sound bank brought to you by the sound banking of First American. And seeing Juwan out there, how close was he, this target date for him, to when he finally returned?
Ahead of schedule. Yeah. I mean, I already knew that, you know, once I got the surgery, I was going to be back faster than anticipated. If you give me 13 weeks, I'm going to be back in 8. If you gave me 8 weeks, I was going to be back in 4. And I think that's more so of a mindset thing. I think some people take the date as in, you know, this is when I'm going to be back, but I always push the envelope. I think it's more of a mental thing than anything physical. When you believe you can do something, you're going to be able to do it.
Juwan Johnson, saying I was going to come back earlier than expected. He had that mindset, and I guess you love to hear that, because so many times you feel like, you know, with people dealing with injuries, sometimes it's like, are they milking that, or why is it taking so long?
Well, no, you got to be able to run.
Exactly.
You know, people are like, he ain't milking nothing. You got to be able to run. You got to be healed. You can't be, like, limping, you know, hippity-hoppity. You know,
the hobbling tight end, right.
Yeah, no. We need him to be a big part of what we're doing. I'm going to tell you what, as much as we count on Chris Olave, we need Juwan Johnson to do something.
He's just up there, too.
Without a doubt. If you look at it, I said this earlier on the show. I said this yesterday. It took him till week 17 to eclipse 50 yards receiving in a game. Well, I think he needs to eclipse 50 yards in a game, at least a half a dozen plus, not just one or two. How about you do that half the season? So let's say you're playing 17 games. I don't know. Do it 7 or 8 times. I mean, I think he needs to be that, have that much of an impact with that relationship with Derek Carr. And you know why? I always tell you this. Oh, we got to throw way down the field and all. It's good for those chunk plays and all. But with the tight end, it's a short distance. We ain't blocking nobody this game, whatever. And Derek Carr got to get rid of the ball. It has to come out. That's why you got to be able to trust your tight end. Now, the Carr got to be accurate. It might be a simple pass, but the defense gets discouraged. You think they would have had a sack. But no, you might have only a +7 or +8, but it's a positive gain, and that discourages the defense when you're able to utilize that quarterback tight end connection.
We'll hear more from Juwan Johnson when we get back from this break. Stay tuned right here on WWL Saints Radio. Back here on Sports Talk, going to get back into our training camp sound bank that's brought to you by the sound banking of First American. Juwan Johnson speaking last night at Tulane's open practice. He is off the physically unable to perform list, and in cut number 2 talks about his injury.
Obviously, it was a surprise that I even had a fracture. I think it was more surprising that it happened. I had no idea that it happened. I was practicing pretty much all of OTA with it. And then, you know, one day I was just kind of sore and wanted to check it out. Thought it was sprained, but it actually ended up being fractured. So it was a need for a surgery. It was the fastest way possible, the safest way possible. And I'm back out here, not missing any time from the season. So I'm really happy about it.
Well, now that he's back, Cajun Cannon, how much catching up does Juwan have to do in this Clint Kubiak scheme?
Well, the good thing about injury is that you have time to really sit back and look at, you know, the playbook. And so, you know, when everything is a lot of physical for these guys, it was mentally tasking for me. You know, you got the offensive coordinator, Clint. He's been a good job of quizzing me on whatever I need to be quizzed on. My tight end coach has been pretty good with me and quizzing me on what I need to work on. And so everything's been good. You know, knowing the receiver role, tight end role, you know, learning, like, the fullback role, just knowing the whole concept of the offense. It really was good for me to sit back, and that injury necessarily helped me instead of hurt me.
So, yeah, basically he had all that time while he wasn't practicing, at least, to be studying the playbook.
Well, was he studying the playbook? And then wasn't him and his wife, like, influencers and all that?
Oh, yeah, all TikTok stars.
TikTok stars, yeah. They still have – has that grown or what?
I'm not sure.
One time I interviewed him, I remember saying, oh, yeah, that was – he said he was surprised I asked him that because I'm not – a big TikTok guy, but he...
They got another baby coming, too.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, I know they... it was like the duo. It was like the husband and wife duo and big, you know, influencers, if that's the right term.
Right.
A lot of followers. Is that correct?
Yep.
Is that how you say it?
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we need to find followers. We need to find followers of the Who Dat Nation because you did such a damn good job playing tight end on the field. How about that? you know?
And we were seeing, I felt like, that growth from Juwan, and then unfortunately, you know, everyone was thinking he was going to have that big bust-out year last season, and it just didn't materialize.
No, because he was definitely all metric, all airline highway. No, he was outstanding in training camp. Now I even told people to pick him in fantasy football.
Well, hopefully you were a year off, and it works out this year for
right,
him.
Right, right, right. Yeah, hopefully I was a year off, and he works out this season. But, yeah, he knows that. He knows he has to bounce back. If you want to get paid... You know, instead of getting a few million, get a lot of millions. So he knows he needs to have a big year.
Well, he was also asked, too, did he feel that pressure to get back because, you know, the tight end room is so not deep at all, you know?
Well, the thing is like, you never really feel pressure when you put more pressure on yourself than anybody else. I mean, yeah, Mickey has his things that he wants out of me. DA has his stuff he wants to get out of me. But I have more pressure on myself than they ever do, so... The thing is, like, it was never pressure from them to be like, I need to be doing better, because I know the pressure and the affirmation and the accomplishments that I have for myself. So it was never really about them; it was about, you know, what I can do.
So yeah, you know, he says, you know, no one's put more pressure than it is on myself.
Well, it should be like that. You know, a player, what you have to do, you have to be able to look in the mirror. And don't sweep it under the rug, like, I'll do that later and all that. No, you got to be able to look in the mirror. Am I going to step up or not? And challenge yourself. And then no one, like, okay, as a player, no one knows you better than you. You know if you're half-assing it or are you really putting your best foot forward, you know, that effort. Especially if you have the ability, shame on you if you don't get the most out of your ability. And I think Juwan Johnson sounds mature and realizes that.
Family man now, too, so yeah, he's like...
No, focus. You want to do best for you and your family? Awesome. Well, go out there and kick butt this season and be outstanding, and then you'll be rewarding yourself and your family.
That was our training camp sound bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American. We'll close things out right after this on WWL. Back here on our final segment of Sports Talk. Want to get into one of our callers been hanging on, James and Metri, wanted to talk training camp. What you got, James?
So happy birthday, Nandy Young. Today's his birthday. I hope he finds another team. Bobby, you know this. And I'm a little disappointed in you. But you know,
why are you disappointed in me?
We don't have anyone on this team that could block Matt Judon. Not nobody on this team that could block. By the way,
you mean by themselves? We can maybe chip him with the back of the tight end. We can help out.
Yeah, but you can't chip two guys.
I know, that's true.
Yeah, so that's why Nandy Young's got to go. That's why Kenny can't play against Atlanta. He can't play. And actually,
yeah, but Fuaga's going to hang, James. Fuaga's about to hang by himself.
Do you remember Chuck Smith, who used to beat down our left tackle?
No, Chuck Smith, if you ask Willie Rolfe, who's the toughest guy that Chuck Smith ever went against? I mean, that Willie Rolfe ever went against? It was Chuck Smith from Tennessee. I think he's coaching the Ravens right now. And he had four sacks in one game against Willie Rolfe. Think about that.
So, Bobby, So, Bobby, he was coaching the Ravens last season.
Yep.
He was also a personal trainer for Clowney. And he's the one that got Clowney that was 9.5 sacks with him. He helped him out. And now Clowney's moving over to Carolina. He wants to be the main guy. We got to double him, by chance, Carolina's defense and Atlanta's defense are basically the same. They're going to be playing split safeties. They're going to take a key player on the line. And they're going to try to find a weak spot. Atlanta could just the difference between Atlanta and Carolina, they could just sit right there with Jared against Ruiz, who he owns. But we have nobody right now that's going to be able to block Majuno against Atlanta. And you said split. I don't want to. We're not splitting with them. You know as good as you.
No, we can't, James. What about you say we can't? Because I'll tell you, it's a rivalry type game.
We want to beat them both games. No, man. No,
that's not realistic. The Saints could be Super Bowl champs. You still might split. No. Let me tell you. You might say, to show you how you never know, James, how about this? And you remember this 2 decades ago. You remember when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl? Guess who beat them twice in a season? The Saints. So it just shows you. You're familiar with one another, and it's a rivalry-type game? No. To say that, right now, we're going to sweep Atlanta? You're not being realistic. I just hope we go one-on-one, and then you're not discouraged. You might not be thoroughly encouraged, but at least you're not discouraged. I can tell you, if we can't run against the ball against Atlanta, we ain't winning. No, I don't know if we can or not. We have to wait and see what happens. But I know if we can run, hell yeah, we got a fighting chance.
Yeah, for me, like, you look at things, and I've heard it over and over and over throughout the years. When it comes to your division games, you throw records out the window.
Yes.
Like you said, the familiarity with each other is just too great.
Yes, and you might say, are we way better than Atlanta? Atlanta might say, are we better than the Saints? No, and it could be a dogfight. And
they could come in here. They win in New Orleans.
I'm
and then
telling
Saints
you,
turn around and win in Atlanta.
If you go decade after decade after decade, James, I'm telling you. If you look at the NFC South, yes, you want to go 6-0 or 5-1. If you could tell me we're going to go 4-2 every year, yes, we got a chance. If we go 4-2, I know we got a chance to win the NFC South every year.
That's a wrap on our Wednesday edition of Sports Talk, Cajun Cannon. Saints back at it at noon tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Tune in on Sports Talk. We'll be right back with more for you of the black and gold coverage. Cajun Cannon, take it away.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Go Saints.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk, going to get back into our training camp sound bank that's brought to you by the sound banking of First American. Juwan Johnson speaking last night at Tulane's open practice. He is off the physically unable to perform list. And in cut number two, talks about his injury.
Obviously, it was a surprise that I even had a fracture. I think it was more surprising that it happened. I had no idea that it happened. I was practicing pretty much all of OTA with it. And then, you know, one day I was just kind of sore and wanted to check it out, thought it was sprained, but it actually ended up being fractured. So it was a need for a surgery. It was the fastest way possible, the safest way possible. And I'm back out here, not missing any time from the season. So I'm really happy about it.
Well, now that he's back, Cajun Cannon, how much catching up does Juwan have to do in this Clint Kubiak scheme?
Well, the good thing about injury is that you have time to really sit back and look at, you know, the playbook. And so, you know, when everything is a lot of physical for these guys, it was mentally tasking for me. You know, you got the offensive coordinator, Clint. He's been a good job of quizzing me on whatever I need to be quizzed on. My tight ends coach has been pretty good with me and quizzing me on what I need to work on. And so everything's been good. You know, knowing the receiver role, tight end role, you know, learning, like, the fullback role, just knowing the whole concept of the offense. It really was good for me to sit back, and that injury didn't necessarily help me. Instead of hurt me.
So, basically he had all that time while he wasn't practicing, at least to be studying the playbook.
Well, was he studying the playbook? And then wasn't him and his wife like influencers and all that?
Oh, yeah, all TikTok stars.
TikTok stars, yeah. They still have, has that grown or what?
I'm not sure.
I interviewed him, I remember saying, oh, yeah, that was, he said he was surprised I asked him that because I'm not a big TikTok guy, but he.
They got another baby coming too.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, I know they, it was like the duo. It was like the husband and wife duo and big, you know, influencers, if that's the right term.
Right.
A lot of followers. Is that correct?
Yep.
Is that how you say it?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we need to find followers. We need to find followers of the Who Dat Nation because you did such a damn good job playing tight end on the field. How about that? You know?
And we were seeing, I felt like, that growth from Juwan. And then, unfortunately, you know, everyone was thinking he was going to have that big bust-out year last season, and it just didn't materialize.
No, because he was definitely all metric, all airline highway. No, he was outstanding in training camp. Now I even told people to pick him in fantasy football.
Well, hopefully you were a year off and it works out this year for
right,
him.
Right, right, right. Yeah, hopefully I was a year off and he works out this season. But, yeah, he knows that. He knows he has to bounce back. If you want to get paid, you know, instead of getting a few million, get a lot of millions. So he knows he needs to have a big year.
Well, he was also asked too, did he feel that pressure to get back because, you know, the tight end room is so not deep at all, you know?
Well, the thing is like you never really feel pressure when you put more pressure on yourself than anybody else. I mean, yeah, Mickey has his things that he wants out of me. DA has his stuff he wants to get out of me, but I have more pressure on myself than they ever do. So the thing is, like, it was never pressure from them to be like, I need to be doing better, because I know the pressure and the affirmation and the accomplishments that I have for myself. So it was never really about them. It was about, you know, what I can do.
So, yeah, you know, he says, you know, no one's put more pressure than it is on myself.
Well, it should be like that. You know, a player, what you have to do, you have to be able to look in the mirror. And don't sweep it under the rug, like, I'll do that later and all that. No, you got to be able to look in the mirror. Am I going to step up or not? And challenge yourself. And then no one, like, okay, as a player, no one knows you better than you. You know if you're half-assing it or are you really putting your best foot forward, you know, that effort. Especially if you have the ability, shame on you if you don't get the most out of your ability. And I think Juwan Johnson sounds mature and realizes that.
Family man now, too, so yeah, he's like...
No, focus. You want to do best for you and your family? Awesome. Well, go out there and kick butt this season and be outstanding, and then you'll be rewarding yourself and your family.
That was our training camp sound bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American. We'll close things out right after this on WWL. Back here on our final segment of Sports Talk. Want to get into one of our callers been hanging on. James and Metri wanted to talk training camp. What you got, James?
So happy birthday, Nandy Young. Today's his birthday. I hope he finds another team. Bobby, you know this. And I'm a little disappointed in you. But you know.
Oh, why are you disappointed in me, James?
We don't have anyone on this team that could block Matt Judon. Not nobody on this team that could block. By the way,
you mean by themselves? We can maybe chip him with the back of the tight end. We can help out.
Yeah, but you can't chip two guys.
I know, that's true.
Yeah, so that's why Nandy Young's got to go. That's why Kenny can't play against Atlanta. He can't play. And actually,
yeah, but Fuaga's going to hang, James. Fuaga's about to hang by himself.
Do you remember Chuck Smith, who used to beat down our left tackle?
No, Chuck Smith, if you ask Willie Rolfe, who's the toughest guy that Chuck Smith ever went against? I mean, that Willie Rolfe ever went against? It was Chuck Smith from Tennessee. I think he's coaching the Ravens right now, and he had four sacks in one game against Willie Rolfe. Think about that.
So Bobby, he was coaching the Ravens last season.
Yep.
He was also a personal trainer for Clowney, and he's the one that got Clowney that was 9.5 sacks with him. He helped him out, and now Clowney's moving over to Carolina. He wants to be the main guy. We got to double him, you know. And by chance, Carolina's defense and Atlanta's defense are basically the same. They're going to be playing split safeties. They're going to take a key player on the line, and they're going to try to find a weak spot. Atlanta could just the difference between Atlanta and Carolina, they could just sit right there with Jarrett against Ruiz, who he owns. But we have nobody well, right now that's going to be able to block Mazzuno against Atlanta? And you said split. I don't want to. We're not splitting with them. You know as good as you.
No, we can't, James. Why do you say we can't? Because I'll tell you, it's a rivalry type game.
We want to beat them both games. No, man. No,
that's not realistic. The Saints could be Super Bowl champs. You still might split. No. Let me tell you. You might say, to show you how you never know, James, how about this? And you remember this 2 decades ago. You remember when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl? Guess who beat them twice in a season? The Saints. So it just shows you. You're familiar with one another, and it's a rivalry type game? No. To say that, right now, we're going to sweep Atlanta? You're not being realistic. I just hope we go 1-1, and then you're not discouraged. You might not be thoroughly encouraged, but at least you're not discouraged. I can tell you, if we can't run against the ball against Atlanta, we ain't winning. No, I don't know if we can or not. We have to wait and see what happens. But I know if we can run, hell yeah, we got a fighting chance.
Yeah, for me, like, you look at things, and I've heard it over and over and over throughout the years. When it comes to your division games, you throw records out the window.
Yes.
Like you said, the familiarity with each other is just too great.
Yes, and you might say, well, are we way better than Atlanta? Atlanta might say, well, we better than the Saints. No, and it could be a dogfight.
They could come in here. They win in New Orleans.
I'm telling you,
turn around and win in Atlanta.
If you go decade after decade and decade, James, I'm telling you. If you look at the NFC South, yes, you want to go 6-0 or 5-1. If you could tell me we're going to go 4-2 every year, yes, we got a chance. If we go 4-2, I know we got a chance to win the NFC South every year.
That's a wrap on our Wednesday edition of Sports Talk, Cajun Cannon. Saints back at it at noon tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Tune in on Sports Talk. We'll be right back with more for you of the black and gold coverage. Cajun Cannon, take it away.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Go Saints.
Back here on our final segment of Sports Talk. Want to get into one of our callers been hanging on. James and Metri wanted to talk training camp. What you got, James?
So happy birthday, Nandy Young. Today's his birthday. I hope he finds another team. Bobby, you know this, and I'm a little disappointed in you, but you know.
Oh, why are you disappointed in me, James?
We don't have anyone on this team that could block Mazzuno. Not nobody on this team that could block. By the way,
you mean by themselves? We can maybe chip them with the back of the tight end. We can help out.
Yeah, but you can't chip two guys.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's why Nandy Young's got to go. That's why. Kenny can't play against Atlanta. He can't play. And actually,
yeah, but Fuaga's going to hang, James. Fuaga's about to hang by himself.
Do you remember Chuck Smith, who used to beat down our left tackle?
No, Chuck Smith, if you ask Willie Rolfe, who's the toughest guy that Chuck Smith ever went against? I mean, that Willie Rolfe ever went against? It was Chuck Smith from Tennessee. I think he's coaching the Ravens right now. He had four sacks in one game against Willie Rolfe. Think about that.
So Bobby, he was coaching the Ravens last season.
Yep.
He was also a personal trainer for Clowney, and he's the one that got Clowney that was 9.5 sacks with him. He helped him out, and now Clowney's moving over to Carolina. He wants to be the main guy. We got to double him, and by chance. Carolina's defense and Atlanta's defense are basically the same. They're going to be playing split safeties. They're going to take a key player on the line. And they're going to try to find a weak spot. Atlanta could just the difference between Atlanta and Carolina, they could just sit right there with Jarrett against Ruiz, who he owns. But we have nobody right now that's going to be able to block Mazzuno against Atlanta. And you said split. I don't want to. We're not splitting with them. You know as good as you.
No, we can't, James. Why do you say we can't? Because I'll tell you, it's a rivalry type game.
We want to beat them both games. No, man. No,
that's not realistic. The Saints could be Super Bowl champs. You still might split. No. Let me tell you. You might say, to show you how you never know, James, how about this? And you remember this 2 decades ago. You remember when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl? Guess who beat them twice in a season? The Saints. So it just shows you. You're familiar with one another. And it's a rivalry-type game? No. To say that, right now, we're going to sweep Atlanta? You're not being realistic. I just hope we go 1-1, and then you're not discouraged. You might not be thoroughly encouraged, but at least you're not discouraged. I can tell you, if we can't, I don't know if we can. If we can't run against the ball against Atlanta, we ain't winning. No, I don't know if we can or not. We have to wait and see what happens. But I know if we can run, hell yeah, we got a fighting chance.
Yeah, for me, like, you look at things, and I've heard it over and over and over throughout the years. When it comes to your division games, you throw records out the window.
Yes.
Like you said, the familiarity with each other is just too great.
Yes, and you might say, well, are we way better than Atlanta? Atlanta might say, well, we better than the Saints. No, and it could be a dogfight. And
they could come in here. They win in New Orleans.
I'm telling you, Saints
turn around and win in Atlanta.
If you go decade after decade after decade, James, I'm telling you. If you look at the NFC South, yes, you want to go 6-0 or 5-1. If you could tell me we're going to go 4-2 every year, yes, we got a chance. If we go 4-2, I know we got a chance to win the NFC South every year.
That's a wrap on our Wednesday edition of Sports Talk, Cajun Cannon. Saints back at it at noon tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Tune in on Sports Talk. We'll be right back with more for you of the black and gold coverage. Cajun Cannon, take it away.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Go Saints.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.